Tonight, Miami Zika alert, an extraordinary warning from the CDC telling pregnant women to avoid a popular area of the city as new homegrown cases spread by mosquitoes. The governor activates an emergency response. Trump firestorm on two major fronts. The GOP nominee continuing to spar with Gold Star parents who lost their son at war as a brand new poll shows Clinton surging. Deadly flood disaster tearing through a historic American city. Hundreds of dramatic rescues. Residents form a human chain to save a woman trapped in her car. Protecting the Olympics, security forces deploy in Rio as 500,000 people pour in 4 days before the games begin. And Hollywood uproar over a blockbuster in the works. Critics accuse filmmakers of whitewashing history. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There is an urgent and highly unusual new government warning out today for pregnant women after a jump in the number of confirmed cases of locally contracted Zika in South Florida. The 10 newly identified cases are attributed to homegrown mosquitoes and have affected a neighborhood in Miami, a neighborhood the CDC tonight is urging pregnant women to avoid. Right now, an aggressive Zika testing program is underway there, along with a stepped-up offensive against mosquitoes. Even so, health officials admit there are likely many more undiagnosed cases. NBC's Kerry Sanders has the latest from Miami.
Densely populated Wynwood District in Miami is tonight a no-go zone for pregnant women. The announcement today that there are 10 more suspected cases of homegrown Zika for a total of 14 cases makes it too dangerous. Federal health officials say there will be more people infected not realizing it because the symptoms can be mild.
What we're looking at carefully is it expanding? Is there a place beyond this one-mile radius that needs to be looked at?
The CDC is now sending emergency teams and advising women returning from the area not to get pregnant for 8 weeks. 12 of the 14 with Zika are men. The Branch family was just tested.
My daughter tested good, but my father, he had the Zika.
Your pregnancy is going well.
Every patient Dr. Adrian Rosnowski saw today had the same worry.
Most of my patients are very anxious. You know, this is their baby that we're talking about.
The phone's ringing with concerns, too.
My primary concern is the apparent connection with microcephaly.
Tracking where Zika patients live, mosquito control districts now zeroing in on a 1 square mile north of downtown Miami. Entomologists say the Zika-carrying mosquito usually flies no more than 400 yards in any direction and typically dies within 30 days. As emergency teams deploy to fight an enemy that's never been fully defeated, the mosquito, Florida's governor today criticizing Congress for failing to fund the Zika fight. The state putting up $26 million, but experts say that's not enough.
We're going to make sure we fund our health departments. We make sure we're going to fund our mosquito boards. We're going to make sure we have all the resources we need.
Federal officials say mosquito control efforts are not working as well as they hoped, perhaps mosquitoes developing a resistance. Some residents now hiring their own mosquito exterminators.
We've gotten about 20 to 30 phone calls in the last day or so from pregnant women or expecting parents.
Tonight, the New York City Health Department has issued a travel warning to women coming to this portion of Miami. Meantime, the Florida Department of Health is now handing out to residents supplies, including insect repellent and mosquito netting. Lester?
Gary Sanders in Miami starting us off. Thanks. Let me bring in Dr. Anthony Fauci from the NIH. He's been called America's point person on infectious diseases. Dr. Fauci, we're glad you're here. Why would the focus and the precautions only take place in one neighborhood? Doesn't it stand to reason if it's in one neighborhood, it could be in the next?
Well, it certainly can. And what the CDC is doing right now is they're doing very extensive surveillance and testing to see if that perimeter of the local outbreak cases that you showed on the diagram there are confined there. And if, in fact, we have cases that are in the further perimeter, they will then extend it. But experience in the past has shown with other infections such as dengue and chikungunya that have actually occurred in Florida that generally when you get clusters of outbreak like that, they generally stay confined. We don't take that for granted. and we're not cavalier about it. That's the reason why there's very extensive surveillance and very extensive and aggressive attempts at mosquito control, and that's what's going on right now. But the CDC evaluates the situation literally every day and will make adjustments depending upon what they find.
All right. Dr. Fauci, good to have you on. Thanks so much. Now to new trouble for Donald Trump, as a new national poll shows Hillary Clinton surging to a 9-point lead following the conventions, while Trump remains entangled in a pair of growing firestorms, including his battle with a mother and father who lost their son in Iraq, pushing back against his rhetoric. Trump also under scrutiny over his relationship with Vladimir Putin. We have it all covered tonight, starting with NBC's Hallie Jackson. Hallie.
Good evening, Lester. And tonight, Donald Trump's looking to turn the conversation to terrorism as his critics keep it on questions about his temperament and ability to comfort the families of the fallen. All of this now putting new pressure on Republicans to answer for their nominee, as some Trump supporters, including here in Columbus, shrug it off. On stage, nothing new about the cons, but online, Donald Trump again hitting the Gold Star family for blitzing broadcasts to make their point. Ghazala Khan today remembering the last conversation she had with her son.
I love my soldiers, so I will be. I will take care of them.
Celeste Zapala understands that pain. Her son was also killed by an explosion in Iraq.
You know, in a way, they've already gone through the worst days of their lives. I don't think there's anything Mr. Trump can say to them that'll be more painful.
The Zapalas, just one of the Gold Star families lining up against the GOP nominee, with Khan's convention speech still resonating. His pocket constitution, now an Amazon bestseller. Paul Ryan even posing with one in a picture posted today. A subtle dig, but maybe too subtle for the speaker's critics, who wonder how he and other GOP leaders can keep supporting their nominee while condemning his most recent controversial comments. Senator John McCain, in a tough re-election fight, with tough words for Trump, quote, the nomination is not accompanied by unfettered license to defame those who are the best among us. We've seen this before, caught in controversy again and again, calling some Mexicans rapists, questioning John McCain's war hero status, criticizing the heritage of a Mexican-American judge. Only that seemed to do damage. This may not.
There's a lot bigger issues, in my view, than being overly energized about offending one person or one family.
If he cannot capture independents and moderate Republicans in swing states, he has no hope of victory in November.
Late today, Trump summoning reporters, trying to change the topic, dealing with this controversy like so many others, on his terms and his alone. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Columbus.
I'm Katie Turr. Donald Trump is facing accusations he doesn't understand world affairs after he said on Sunday Vladimir Putin would not invade Ukraine.
He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine. All right, you can mark it down, you can put it down, you can take it anywhere
you want. Well,
he's
already there, isn't he?
Okay. Well, he's there in a certain way.
Today, fighting back, saying his words were twisted.
Russia going into the Ukraine. I said very simply, they're not going to do it on my watch, essentially.
In the same interview, Trump seemingly condoned Putin's 2014 invasion of Ukraine and annexation of Crimea, the first instance of a hostile takeover in Europe since the end of World War II.
The people of Crimea, from what I've heard, would rather be with Russia than where they were.
The candidate aligning himself with Russia more than his own party or country, a move unheard of in presidential politics.
He said he would look into giving, acknowledging the annexation of Crimea. He'd say he'd stop talking about democracy and human rights. He said he would reevaluate our commitments to our NATO allies.
Now Trump's ties to Russia and his murky relationship with Putin are under the microscope. Once braggadocious.
But I do have a relationship with him, and I think it's very interesting to see what's happened.
Trump is now distant.
I have no relationship with Putin. I don't think I've ever met him. I never met him.
Katie Turr, NBC News, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
On the Democratic side, as Hillary Clinton faces off against one billionaire, she's got some others in her corner. Warren Buffett introducing Clinton at an event in Omaha a short time ago. And he challenged Donald Trump to a duel over their tax returns.
That's why I'd like to make him an offer. An offer I hope he can't refuse. I would be delighted to meet him any place, any time between now and election. I'll bring my tax return. He could bring his tax return. Nobody's going to arrest us. It is not. There are no rules against showing your tax returns. And just let people ask us questions about the items that are on there.
Buffett's fellow billionaires, Mark Cuban and Michael Bloomberg, have also endorsed Clinton. Now to the historic flash flooding being called a 1-in-1,000-year event that destroyed a Maryland city. A state of emergency has been declared in the area, where at least 2 people have been killed and dozens of others had to be rescued from the rushing waters. NBC's Tammy Leitner takes us into the disaster.
These devastating images are our first look at all that's left of Main Street in historic Ellicott City. Just 48 hours prior,
get inside!
Rushing floodwaters swallowed the town.
There's people in the water!
Destroying everything in their path. These residents formed a human chain to save a woman trapped in her car.
I'm just glad that we managed to save her.
More than 100 people rescued, but at least 2 dead. 38-year-old Joseph Anthony Blevins and 36-year-old Jessica Watsula. Ellicott City sits in the Patapsco River Valley, surrounded by steep hills. As severe weather hit the area Saturday night, 6 inches of rain fell in just 2 hours, overwhelming the small streams that flow into the river and causing water to surge down Main Street.
It was so fast. It was horrifying.
Gretchen Shuey still hasn't been able to assess the damage to her coffee shop.
I actually watched video of the street as it was flooding. Right. And just could experience the terror of these people.
All of this was cars everywhere.
NBC News was taken deep inside the destruction zone.
This is ground zero. It's safe to say that they're all damaged by some degree of water.
Now more rain is expected this evening, which could add to the devastation. Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Ellicott City, Maryland.
Really unbelievable images. We're learning much more about the pilot and the hot air balloon crash that killed 16 people in Texas. Court documents show multiple drunk driving convictions that made it illegal for him to operate a car, but did not impact his flight qualifications. NBC's Janet Shamlian has more on the final moments leading up to the crash.
Today, new details about the hot air balloon that crashed into a Texas pasture. These urgent calls to 911.
I don't know what it is, but a truck or tractor or something has backfired and it's on fire.
16 dead, including Matt and Sunday Rowan, newly married. Paige Brabson and her mom, Laura Lee. Holly Smith Huckabee and her friends, Joe and Tressa Owens. And the pilot, Skip Nichols.
To me, it just seemed they couldn't climb. They were stuck right above the tree line.
The balloon launched Saturday morning, traveling only 8 miles before striking high-tension power lines and crashing just beneath them. As the wreckage was hauled away from the accident scene late today, officials say it appears the pilot was trying to land.
The vent was open. As you know, they can control a balloon somewhat by opening and closing vents. And the top vent was open, which is consistent with a landing maneuver.
Court documents show the pilot has had 4 DWI convictions in Missouri, the latest in 2010, and he was ineligible to drive until 2020. The NTSB says his flight qualifications were up to date.
The NTSB recommended greater oversight of commercial balloon operators 2 years ago, but the FAA rejected that recommendation. Janet Shamlian, NBC News, Lockhart, Texas.
There's a lot more to tell you about as we continue this evening. Olympic safety fears. We're with security teams launching a major show of force by land, sea, and air as hundreds of thousands descend on Rio just 4 days before the games begin. Also, why the star of the number one movie in America is finding himself at the center of a firestorm over race. Just 4 days from now, Brazil and South America will host its first Olympic Games. An estimated 500,000 sports fans are pouring into Rio. And tonight, in the wake of a string of deadly terror attacks overseas and here at home, many are asking how safe the Games can be. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has toured the city's security forces on the ground, air, and sea.
Tonight in Rio, a show of force.
With a security team of 88,000, Brazil is taking no chances.
This is a major site, a major target. We know jihadis have wanted to hit this site and have actually called on followers to do just that.
With 500,000 visitors and thousands of athletes to protect, excitement is also building.
It's surreal. I still don't believe it.
80% of tickets sold. The beach city is racing to get ready, but Mother Nature isn't helping. Smashing waves caused this ramp at the sailing venue to partially collapse. There are still health concerns over contaminated water, especially at the sailing and rowing venues, though officials say the water is safe for competition. Meantime, federal police are watching more than just the shoreline.
With four different agencies working this water, officers will be on patrol here 24 hours a day. Their top priority, protect the venues, including this bay, where athletes will compete.
Overhead, more firepower, a constant presence in the air.
This police force with its team of 9 helicopters will be crisscrossing the air throughout the games. 200 members here in the air and on the ground will be sending tactical images back to Central Command. The eyes in the sky above Rio.
This is where intelligence is analyzed and shared with teams from around the globe. Tonight, a massive operation underway, and officials say there is no room for error. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Rio.
And this program note, this broadcast moves to Rio beginning Thursday night. We'll be live with Olympic coverage from there throughout the games. There's more to tell you about. We're back in a moment with guns on campus, where it just became legal to carry firearms into college classrooms. A controversial new law took effect today, allowing concealed carry of handguns on public college campuses in Texas. It has ignited a battle over whether it will make colleges safer or have the opposite effect. As our Blake McCoy tells us, it comes on the anniversary of an infamous campus massacre, still chilling 5 decades later.
The clock tower at UT Austin sits frozen at 11:48 a.m.
A sniper on the university tower firing at will.
The moment 50 years ago today, a gunman opened fire from that perch. 17 people were killed in what's considered to be the country's first modern-day mass shooting. It's by coincidence today that a new Texas law goes into effect, allowing concealed carry at public universities across the state. There will be some restrictions. At UT Austin, guns won't be allowed in dorm rooms, bars, or sporting events, but they will be allowed in classrooms and other public areas, sparking a campus debate.
I think it's a great idea because I feel safer with other people having guns.
I just think it creates an uneasiness to campus that wasn't there before.
Texas becomes the 8th state to allow students to carry concealed weapons on college campuses, while 18 states outright ban the practice. In Texas, there has been fallout. The dean of architecture at UT Austin resigned over the new law, and the university president has spoken out against it.
We understand the emotions. We understand the concern, but nevertheless, it is the law.
50 years and many more mass shootings later, students in Texas will now have the choice to be armed themselves. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
When we come back, Hollywood uproar, why some are calling Matt Damon's upcoming movie an affront to actors of color. Finally, tonight, he could be seen in theaters right now as the star of Jason Bourne, the number one movie in America. But it's Matt Damon's upcoming movie that's generating a lot of headlines and controversy over how race is depicted on film. NBC's Jolene Kent takes us inside the uproar.
It's being slammed as whitewashing. Matt Damon under fire for his lead role in next year's film, The Great Wall.
I'm enrolling you in Chinese school.
Actress Constance Wu, star of Fresh Off the Boat, calling out the movie. Tweeting, we have to stop perpetuating the racist myth that only a white man can save the world. Our heroes don't look like Matt Damon. They look like Malala, Gandhi, Mandela. The Great Wall is one of the most expensive movies ever made in China, directed by acclaimed Chinese filmmaker Zhang Yimou and produced by Legendary East. Damon plays a mercenary who fights dragons and monsters. The science fantasy is distributed by Universal Pictures, a sister company of NBC News. Zhang defended the casting of Damon, telling Entertainment Weekly, this is an English language film. This is a Hollywood monster movie and needs to be made in that style. But Wu isn't buying it, tweeting money is the lamest excuse, so is blaming the Chinese investors.
This time I'm warning you!
White actors playing people of color is nothing new. Mickey Rooney was a Chinese landlord in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I'm so jacked for sex.
Emma Stone played a part Chinese pilot in Aloha. Wu's comments come after Hollywood was criticized for failing to nominate a single actor of color at this year's Oscars, prompting a boycott and social media campaign, Oscars So White.
We want to see more opportunities for actors of color and stories about people of color.
Putting the pressure on Hollywood to flip the script. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
That is going to do it for us on this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt for all of us at NBC News. Thank you for watching and good night.